Jay Douglas is the social environmental health scientist and serves as the principal investigator for state and federally funded programs in Oregon's Health Authority's Center for Health Protection. She's worked in the field of public health for 25 years and has extensive knowledge, experience, and expertise in working with communities addressing pressing environmental and occupational health issues. She joined the Oregon Health Authority in 2004 and has led the research and education services since 2007. Jay?
George.
I apologize.
That's all right. Thanks, George. Good morning, everybody. I do have the privilege of kicking us off this morning to talk with you about some of the pretty fun and I think very impressive work that we've been able to do with the leadership of the National Center for Environmental Health on Climate and Health. And, one of the most impressive things, I think, is that they reached out to the states to figure out how to establish and strengthen both state and local public health to respond to the challenges of climate and health. So I'm going to talk with you a little bit about the journey that we've taken in Oregon, and the lessons learned piece here is a true thing. We've definitely learned a number of things from working with our local partners, and that's what we're going to be spending most of our time talking about this morning. But before we get to there, just give you a little bit of I have to tell you that I don't have a conflict of interest. Tell you a little bit about the broader work that's happened in Oregon. Now, those of you who are not from the Pacific Northwest, I think, will recognize the rap that Oregon has for being a leader in environmental health and in ecology, and that's for good reason. We deserve a lot of that, not maybe as much as we actually deserve, but we get a lot of credit for some of the things that have happened in our state. To begin with, and I have to a little bit of a caveat here. I was trying to get my notes printed out this morning, and I have some really great data that I'm not going to be able to just rattle off the top of my head. And I couldn't get my notes printed out, so I'm just going to be winging a couple of things here. But I'll start with the establishment of the Oregon Global Warming Commission. It was established by statute in Oregon. That piece of legislation also established the Oregon Climate Change Research Institute, which we call OCRI. So between the establishment of the Global Warming Commission and OCRI, there has been some important baseline work, some important groundwork for the state as a whole. A lot of that work has been focused on the natural resource agencies, but public health has gotten to the table for some important initiatives, and you'll see that in just a second. But the focus in Oregon, and I'm sure other states have this as well, but Oregon, one of the things that we do very well in Oregon is we coordinate with one another. It's a very collaborative environment, and so both from the standpoint of this piece of legislation and the ways that the natural resource agencies work together, the focus has been on coordination among agencies. We've had a couple of reports prepared by OCRI for the Global Warming Commission, and there's an update pending in 2012, and OCRI and the Global Warming Commission established a framework, an adaptation framework for the state, which included a number of recommendations, the eighth of which I've highlighted there for you. But, you know, Oregon recognized the need for preparations going, to invigorate and enhance mitigation efforts, to really look very closely at what Oregon's impacts will be, and, you know, see the number of initiatives there. But specifically, I want to point out the fact that the Global Warming Commission, this adaptation framework, specifically identified public health implications of climate change. And I'll just mention that our public health director is a member of the Global Warming Commission, and he has said a few times that as the Global Warming Commission was having their meetings, he would have to say, what about public health? What about public health? Because there's so much to talk about from the natural resource agencies, and I think the assumption is somehow the public's health will be managed, maintained, and protected, but he really worked to get it specifically injected into the adaptation framework. In terms of incorporating public health implications into climate change, was specifically expanded to identify some specific activities, which I'll be talking with you about. The work that we've been doing has been in support of. Our Global Warming Commission is largely populated by industry and NGOs, but our state agencies, you can see, are ex officio members in broad strokes. It's a big group with lots of expertise. And I think what they recognize is in Oregon, just like many other states, we're going to be seeing the very significant impacts from a warming climate. And these are a couple of pictures of some Oregon glaciers where we're seeing significant impacts. In Oregon, some of our biggest impacts are going to be related to water, water quality, water availability. And because we're an agricultural state, water quality and water availability have cascading impacts on the health of our state, the health of our economy, the health of our communities. It's not just water. We will see some impacts from movements of vectors northward, from impacts of heat and impacts of, I guess as an adjunct to water, impacts of fire, wildfire, and impacts on air quality. So we've been projecting those impacts and trying to figure out from a public health standpoint what needs to be done. For our work in Oregon, there you see us there, we are pretty focused on water, but we're focused on some of these other impacts as well. In the work that we're doing with our local health departments, we've been using OCRI, our Global Climate Change Research Institute, has been helping us with downscale models to identify at the local level what kinds of impacts might folks see. As we worked with the National Center for Environmental Health, our model in Oregon, as I mentioned earlier, we have a very strong collaborative model. In Oregon, our local health infrastructure is a key component of our public health system. In fact, by statute, our local health departments are our public health authority. So a lot of the work that we would want to do at the state level really needs to be done in the context of our local public health departments. So as we were developing a framework for working with our public health departments, the BRACE framework that came out of the National Center for Environmental Health was developed just in time for us to identify what were some steps that our local health departments could take for working within their community. So to begin with, looking at forecasts to identify vulnerabilities, to identify data systems that would help us assess burden of disease, assess and prioritize burden of disease, to identify and assess interventions, to develop an adaptation plan and to evaluate that work. So we took our BRACE framework out to our local health departments. So just a kind of a word about working with our health departments within the BRACE framework. We used a mini-grant model in Oregon for pushing some of the resources that we were getting from NCEH out to the local level. As I said, our local health departments are our public health authority, and even that being said, they still, in some ways, expect the state to deliver to them work, expectations, materials, tools, and that they would then deploy. In this particular case, we established our mini-grant cohort, and we brought them together and said, we don't have any of that. We don't have any tools developed, and we don't really. All we have is the BRACE, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to figure this out together. And it took them about 3 or 4 months to believe us. They kept thinking that they were going to come together, we would bring them together, and we would begin delivering them, this is how you're going to do it, and you're going to then take this out and deploy it. And in fact, we were making it up as we went along. And we wanted to do that for a couple of reasons. One is it didn't exist before, and we didn't want to build something that we knew was probably going to be, in any case, was going to be flawed. But we wanted to keep the flaws at the local level to a minimum. And so really all we had going into this was this framework. We have five county partners that we're working with. This first slide is a list of the counties that we trained in climate and health. Most public health jurisdictions are oriented toward maternal and child health, chronic disease, et cetera. Their environmental health component tends to be restricted to restaurant inspections and pool inspections and drinking water. So this expanded idea of environmental health, regardless of what it is, there was a fairly steep learning curve. So we wanted to just kind of begin the process of giving some people giving our local health departments some basic orientation to climate change, climate and health, and what kind of threats we might be seeing globally, generally, and then specifically in Oregon. So we trained those counties, and then in order to be eligible for the mini grants, they had to have attended one of these trainings and then apply for the money. So these were the five health jurisdictions that were awarded a grant. There were five. You'll see that there are three counties that are clustered together. Those counties actually operate as one health district. So we have five county partners who've been working with us, and as I said, we bring them together on a regular basis to sort of plan our activities and move through that BRACE framework. The thing that there are several strategies that we had identified going into it, and in retrospect, we've identified as being key to being successful working with this project. One is we decided to work with this as a cohort model, as I said, bringing folks together. They've learned as much from each other as they have from us. Local health departments in Oregon, Oregon has urban, suburban, rural, and frontier counties, and they have very different profiles and very different challenges in terms of public health in general. And so we're looking at the state. One of our county partners is Multnomah County, which is the largest. It's actually the smallest geographic area, but it's the most populous county. They're in a very much different position than, say, Jackson County, which is much more rural and has that frontier designation. So it brought them together, working through as a cohort, and in person. We meet with them on webinars and on conference calls, but four times a year we bring them together, we sit in a room together, and we kind of move through both the material and the challenges that each of the counties have come up against. We've given them some very discrete timelines and deadlines for moving, again, through the BRACE model, through that initial assessment process, just kind of wrapping their minds around it and then reporting out what they've done. So we give them specific timelines. We provide them with a lot of technical assistance. So anything that's happening at the county level, we've got my staff are very engaged with those folks and listening to and learning from them and helping them sort of problem solve their way through some of the challenges. Again, this is sort of goes without saying, but part of what we wanted was to engage their local perspectives and observations about what they're seeing, how their county is responding, even just to the question of whether climate change is real, and then what to do about it. Each county has had to kind of come at this and make adjustments. And then that last piece, of course, that flexibility for working with counties as they embark on this process has been key. So you'll see those again. Our county priorities, as I said, OCRI helped us establish what are the likely threats. These are not new to probably many of you, but air quality, as I said, wildfire is a major issue in Oregon. We're heavily forested, and through forest management practices, we have a lot of material on the ground that is quite available to become in fire. Of course, as air quality diminishes, respiratory disease is a greater threat. We have areas of the state where we're very dependent on snow and snow cap and snow melt, where we're already experiencing drought. Believe it or not, we do have heat. Oregon is people don't think about heat in Oregon as being a problem, but we do have heat-related illness and threats from heat. So as our counties moved into their own BRACE framework. We, as I said, OCRI prepared these downscale models for each of the counties. And that was a new piece of work for OCRI, so we pushed them a little bit. Jackson County, which is in the southern part of the state, they have they're in a bowl. So in the best of circumstances, they have a lot of air inversion problems and air quality issues, and they're very concerned about additional threats to their air quality. Again, very dependent on snowpack for their water. And we're seeing a significant diminishment of our glaciers. Multnomah County, being our most urban county, has been much more focused on extreme heat, air quality, and vectors, the movement of vectors into the Pacific Northwest. Benton County is in the center of the state. They're in a heavily forested area. It's on the east side of the Cascade Range. We have two mountain ranges in Oregon. The Coast Range is on the western side of the state. The Cascades are on the more eastern side of the state. And once you get onto the Cascade, on the other side of the Cascade Range, it's forested and quite dry. They have also experienced. I was thinking I was in Crook County. I'm talking about Benton County. Benton County is actually just south of north of Eugene, and they have experienced significant problems with flooding. This was an area where last year we had significant winter storms and again, significant flooding, so they're very tuned into that. Crook County, that's the one that's on the other side of the Cascade Range, again, heavily forested. Crook County just experienced a significant problem with plague. One woman died from plague. One gentleman also was hospitalized from a cat who had been ill, was handled, and was ill. So that made the news. And, you know, when you see plague end up in the news, it also gets folks' attention. North Central District, this is one of the areas where they're having a significant problem with drought. Their water managers are some of the folks that our public health people have been trying to engage with. And this sort of gets to one of the challenges that our local public health folks have experienced. One of the things that we've identified is in the local health and in local communities, especially small communities, everybody kind of knows everybody else. You might work with somebody who's your emergency manager, and that person is your son's scout leader at night. So there's very small communities, lots of overlapping relationships. And sometimes that can be very helpful, and sometimes it can be a real challenge. So as our public health people, we're trying to learn about climate and health and bring some of that new knowledge to their communities. You know how it is when you're trying to learn something, you don't necessarily know how well you know it until you try to explain it to someone else. Some of our folks have been challenged by trying to explain something that's new to them to other folks in their community and have run up against either lack of interest or ignorance or resistance to the question of whether climate and health, climate change is real, and have really struggled with their own personal credibility in those relationships. And in fact, the folks in the North Central Health District had been at a meeting with their water managers and were literally laughed out of the room. That being laughed out of a room in a small community when you're trying to embark on a topic that you're not super comfortable with yet, was really daunting to them, and it set them back several months. They had to sort of gird themselves to figure out how to kind of go back out to engage in some of those communications. So, one of the things I need to wrap up here, but one of the things that we learned in addition to those other strategies that I described earlier is that people in local health are very aware of and trained in the 10 essential services of public health. So one of the things that we happened upon at the end of this year was to take climate and health and overlay it onto those 10 essential services. That the BRACE framework was very useful, and we've been moving through that, but to give people a way of thinking about what does it mean in this community to prepare for climate change, one of the things that we identified was taking climate and thinking, understanding what the risks might be in your local community, and then overlaying that onto those 10 essential services as a way to figure out how to move along. I'm going to just pop over this because I don't really have the time, but I will say that we did, as part of our work, in addition to working with the counties, we did some analysis of extreme heat events, morbidity and mortality in our four climate regions of the state, and identified where at different thresholds of temperature we begin to see increased morbidity and mortality. And the, I guess the news there is that our coastal communities are much more likely to see impacts at lower temperatures because there aren't adaptation strategies, there aren't adaptation options in those communities. People don't have air conditioning and whatnot. So people are much more adapted on the eastern side of the state where temperatures are known to be regularly much higher. This is our website. This is another piece of work that we've been doing, is trying to communicate more broadly about public health's presence in the conversation and our activities. And you'll see this, I guess, in your materials if you want to check out our website. I'm going to stop there. And
you want to do questions? I think we have time for one quick question before we move to the next.
Hi, Bill. Well, we originally had, we thought that our kind of our major outcome was going to be the development of an adaptation plan for each of our five counties. So that would be kind of our key indicator, was does each county have an adaptation plan, and how broadly representative of it is it of the material that we received from OCRI and from the participation and engagement of their partners. So those will be key indicators, but I think we've come to the point of recognizing that we might not have adaptation plans from each of the counties. So what we'll be looking at is have they moved through each of the five steps? What has their partner engagement looked like? Specifically, partners in the natural resource agencies and the emergency planning entities, and have they? If they haven't developed a distinct and separate public health adaptation plan, has public health been inserted into other local plans? Has climate considerations been inserted into those other emergency plans? And is public health at the table? So those, again, those will be the key indicators, as well as how they've moved through the five steps of the framework and what kind of their materials, how robust are their materials from each of those five activities.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.